Let's open our Bibles to John 3:16. Let's read that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, let's turn over for a moment and let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, familiar scripture verse. And we've entitled this evening, Our Authority in the Area of Finances. And let's look at verses 8 and 9, Isaiah 55, and let's look at verses 8 and 9. It says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So if you can think it, I'm not going to say it's not his thoughts, but if you can think it, his thoughts are higher than that, right? Now, if it's his thought, well, then that's his thought. But if you thought it up, his thoughts are higher than that. And his ways are higher than our ways. And we need to have his thoughts in order to do the things that we're going to do for God. We can't, our minds need to be renewed and transformed. And when it comes to finances, you know, sometimes when we don't, sometimes in the area of healing, sometimes our faith has been developed possibly a little differently and stronger in that area than finances. You hear Brother Hagin talk about it when he was alive. He was raised off the bed of sickness, deathbed. His faith was developed in that area, but he said he struggled in the area of finances. And the Lord began to reveal and unfold and show him that his faith had not been developed in that area. So you may be developed in the area of finances, but sometimes we look at our natural environment, our natural stimuli, what we see, what we hear, and we say, well, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can own that. There's no way I can have that. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And of course, Let's look over 2 Corinthians, since we're talking about what we have in Christ. I believe it's 2 Corinthians and 9 and I wanted to say 9:6, but that's not. No. Is it 9 or 8? But while I'm getting that particular scripture, what we need to do is have our minds transformed and changed. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Excuse me. And it says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty, see that word there, through his poverty might be rich. The Amplified says, yet for your sakes he became so very poor in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, and it says in a parenthesis, abundantly supplied. That means materially. And so years ago, I've shared it, the Lord said to me, if you will work the word, what does that mean? That means that you, just like Joshua 1:8, you meditate on it and you recite it. You're saying it constantly, day and night, not talking about the conditions. We can't do this. So we might read it and then say something else. So this is the adjustment that we have to make in this realm. We've got to, when the Lord reminds us or reveals to us, make those corrections, make those adjustments, because nothing is impossible to you who believes. God has given us a blank check to fill in. And so for us, if we're walking through some things, your current condition doesn't define who you are and what you can do or have. It doesn't define that. The Bible does, what's been promised to you. And so for us, your faith, now remember, this particular grace, what does it say? It says that by faith we access this grace, right? By faith we access grace. So by feeding on the Word of God, your faith increases. And your faith increases to do what? Access this grace. So sometimes our faith operates at a very low level in a particular area, so we really don't access the grace in this particular area to the degree that we should. Isn't that correct? So by feeding on the Word of God, by saying it and confessing it, our faith increases and develops so that we can access this grace that's afforded to us, that Jesus died for. So in this particular area this evening, this authority that we have, look at Genesis. Just going to walk through real quick here. Look at Genesis chapter 1, and look at verses 26, 27, and 28. So you can see here, when God created this earth and put things in it, and look what he said here in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Dominion what? Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over what? All the earth. Now, wouldn't you say there's gold and silver in the earth? There's stuff in the earth, right? So he said here, man was to have dominion and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God did what? He blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and do what? Have dominion. Have dominion. Over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we can see here that man was given dominion. But we can see in Luke 4, if you turn over there real quick, you can see that in Luke chapter 4, right at the beginning, after Jesus, he was 40 days. What was he in the, what was he? Look at verse 2. It says, being 40 days, what? Tempted. So he was tempted of the devil. And of course, it says in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards was hungered. And of course, if you look at verse 4, and Jesus answered him, of course, he said, turn these in verse 3. He said, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And of course, you go down, and verse 5, it says, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kings of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. How could he do that if man was given dominion? You see. So we know from Scripture that Adam committed treason, and he turned that over to the devil. So that's why the devil here could say to Jesus that this was delivered unto him. And you can also see that Jesus was tempted. So he was tempted here, even by him telling him to turn the stones into bread and showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and so forth. So he was tempted, but what did he always do? He fell back on the word, and he did what? He just didn't think the word. He spoke the word. And that's key for us, that when you're confronted, when thoughts come that tell you, it's like what Eddie James was sharing with these young men. He said, what's the trap for some of these young men? The thoughts come, you can't get out of the gangs. You can't get out of this lifestyle. You can't get out of the drugs. And so he's teaching them to do what? Speak the word. Meditate in it day and night and speak it. So when thoughts come to you that say, you can't do this, you can't afford this, you can't have this, you'll never be able to do this, if you know that that's contrary to the word of God, then what ought to be your response? Thus saith the Lord. And you speak to those what? Thoughts. Now, they may not leave right away, but you keep speaking to them enough, and they'll leave. That's got to be our response. So you can see here that Jesus was tempted, and and again, if it wasn't Satan's to give, then it wouldn't have been a temptation, would it? But it was his to give, and it was a temptation for Jesus. I didn't either. But 2 Corinthians 4:4. Yeah. You know, Siri is a wonderful thing. God bless technology. But anyways, 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says in the New Living, it says, Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining unto them. So the devil blinds the minds of those who are ensnared in darkness, and they can't see the light of the good news. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, this says here that he's the god of this world, and he said he's blinding the minds of those who don't believe. But now if you go to John 15, see, glory to God. Let me read this here, John 15 and verse 19. It says, well, let me read verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are what? Not of this world. But I have chosen you what? Out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. So you are not of this world, therefore you're not, of course, and we'll read other scriptures, but because you're not of this world, you're not subjected to or underneath the dominion of the God of this world. And so because of that, you need to get your mind renewed because you are in another kingdom. You're not in the kingdom of darkness. And of course, let me read that. And you can turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. See, we're not of this world. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, and that means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, that means it's already been done, hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, he's already done it, he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you can read from this scripture, Jesus is not going to deliver us. He's already done it. So we're not of this world. We're not subject to Satan's kingdom and his laws and rules. That means he may try to blind you, but you've already let the light of God's word shine in. So we know how to deal with things. We should. We should know, I'm not going to subject myself to these thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And if these thoughts are coming in from the outside, his thoughts are higher. Even in the area where we have his thoughts are higher than my thoughts concerning my health and my prosperity. So you can see here, let me read this. This is, to me, exciting. The word power, if you look it up, of course, you've heard this word used, exousia, which means power. But here are some of the definitions in the Greek of this word, exousia. It says the ability or strength with which one is endued. Now, read it in the context of this scripture in Colossians 1:13. It says, who hath delivered who? Us. So I'm delivered. From what? The exousia of who? Of darkness, of Satan. So I'm delivered from his ability or strength which he's endued. I'm delivered from that. This says here, which he either possesses or exercises, the power of authority or influence, and of right or privilege. So he has a right and a privilege to exert blindness over people who are walking around in darkness. I've been delivered from his ability to blind me. I've been delivered from his right to blind me. See? Somebody who's walking around in darkness doesn't have access to the name of Jesus. They can't command him to leave in the name of Jesus. They've not been engrafted into Christ. So, here, you can see here, and it continues, it says, the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. I don't have to submit to his commands nor obey him. That's why when it says, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. This says here, I've been delivered from the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to. I've been delivered from that. So when he comes with thoughts saying, you can't have this, you can't own this, I don't have to submit to your will. I don't have to submit to your commands. And you ought to get right up and say, get out of here. Leave in the name of Jesus. This is my house. This is my stuff. Leave in the name of Jesus. I claim this in the name of Jesus. You ought to set your bar high because he has no right in your life. He doesn't have the right to dictate something to you. You are the body of Christ. You are his body. And so God has delivered us from the authority and dominion of darkness. Now, you can turn this, you can turn over and look at this. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse 19. Well, look at verse 18. It says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. But look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God. Say, I am of God. And look what it also says. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Or that means a lion lieth in darkness. But we not. Those that don't know him lie in darkness and wickedness. But we're not. We're delivered from darkness and the power of darkness. Now, look at Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Let's bounce back there a minute. Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse 13, starting in 13. It says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's why I love it when I see these young kids. They've been delivered of what? All trespasses. They've been delivered from their past, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, or you could say in the cross. So we are the triumphant ones. We are. Why? Because of what he did. So the church is the triumphant one, triumphing over the devil because of what Jesus did. We defeated the devil in Christ. In Christ. Therefore, we have the authority in Christ to tell Satan to take his hands off what belongs to us. And that includes our finances. Sometimes this is an area that people struggle in, but you've got authority in Christ to speak to the devil, to take his hands and influence off of your finances. So we're redeemed. You know this in Galatians chapter 3. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. That means from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. 1 John 4:4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're not of this world. You live in it, but you're not of it. And the greater one lives inside you. And sometimes we need to get up. Sometimes we don't feel that great in the morning. But you need to wake up in the morning and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in me. And say it, you know, sometimes I say it this way. Say it until you're stirred on the inside. Keep saying it until your spirit man is stirred where that becomes real and alive. Amen. 1 Corinthians, let's back up a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 4. First Corinthians 2 and verse 4, it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration," say demonstration, "of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not," what? "Stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that" what? "Come to naught." So they've come to naught. He reduced them to nothing as far as what? They're being able to do what? Dominate us. Therefore, they can't dominate us in our finances either. The devil has no right. You know, we get all wired up and fired up about, you know, them, the devil touching our body in sickness. We need to have the same kind of oomph when it comes to our finances. When stuff starts surfacing, we need to say, "You take your hands off of my money in the name of Jesus and our finances." Hallelujah. So one of the things that we know is that the money that we need is not in heaven. It's down here in the earth. So we're not claiming for money to come from heaven. We're claiming for money to come to us from this earth. What does it say? "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall" what? "Heaven give into your bosom?" No, it said men are going to give into your bosom. So the money and the things that you need are going to be given into your bosom in this earth, in this realm. And so one of the things that we need to do, and just the same way that Jesus enforced his dominion over the devil, is the same thing. God gave us power here, but it needs to be what? Enforced. I guess you could call it like you're like these marshals and police officers. They're enforcing what we call the law. Well, we're enforcing God's kingdom here. We're enforcing it with what? The Word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood. And we're enforcing his defeat. And letting God work through us so that his kingdom can be advanced. Amen. So when it comes to, I believe Deacon Deborah was sharing this, but when we have a need, you need to enforce, I believe it's in John. Let's go over here a second. Well, we're in John. Turn over to John 14 and look at verses 12, 13, and 14. In verse 12 of John 14, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Did Jesus speak to things? Yes, he did. So the works that he did, we do also. I believe he sent one of the disciples and said, "Go down, pull that coin out of the fish's mouth." So he commanded some things to happen. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask," this word is demand or require, "in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And he says it again, "If you shall ask anything," In my name, I will do it. So right here, we have Scripture. And even in Matthew 18, 18, you have Scripture that you can do what? Demand that money come to you. This isn't mind over matter, where some may say, or they'll say, well, these people name it and claim it. We're not naming. Yeah, we are claiming it. We are naming it and claiming it in the name of Jesus for his work. This is not mind over matter. This is the word over a situation, enforcing the devil to take his influence off of your money, who's the god of this world system. So if you need money, you need to now start, what's the best way to start enforcing it, doing it? Operate at the level of faith that you're at. If you don't believe you have faith to operate at $1,000, then don't start there. I'll tell you where I was, $100 a week faith. And I'll tell you, when I needed it, you know how quickly we get on our knees, right? Oh God, help me. I need help. Don't we? I did, because I ran out of all my savings when I came to work here. I had a nice little nest egg. And you know how we do. Oh, I'm okay. I got it. I can cover this. Even though the money I was making a week didn't cover all my expenses. So I had to keep dipping, keep dipping, keep dipping. But guess what I wasn't doing? I wasn't using my faith. I was using my faith in my nest egg. All the money I had put in my savings account. And when it ran out, I'm sure God was saying, well, he'll come to me sooner or later, because when it runs out, he ain't got nothing left. And so that's what happened. It ran out, and I'm like, oh God, what do I do now? I had to pay my rent, run a car, I had to buy groceries, clothes, you know what I mean. And I can't live on this. And God told me to come work here. I can't march in and say, hey, I need more money. So I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, begin to call in another $100 a week. That was his instruction. So that's what I did. I said, I command and claim another $100 a week. And it came in out of the, as they say, out of the clear blue. Minister Joseph was the administrator. I had just gotten a little raise, a little raise. Poquito, very poquito, very little. And so he called me in and he said, well, you know, we want to give you a raise. I said, and you know me, I should have been quick enough. I said, for what? I'm very serious. God was working with me, you know, because I'm thinking, well, I just got one. I should have just been quiet and say, glory to God. Thank you very much. But it was almost the $100 per week. And that's what I'm saying. Start where you're at. If you need another $50 a week, claim that. Start claiming it. If you need $100 a week, claim it. You need $1,000, claim it. Start using your faith and say, in the name of Jesus, I command this money to come in. Satan, take your hands off my money in the name of Jesus. That's what's going to get us over, using the word. And then go over to Hebrews chapter 1 and look at that scripture and look at verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. It says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits to do what? sent forth to minister for who? For them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's me. So ministering spirits, ministering angels are sitting waiting at your beckoned command to go out and cause that to come in. Bring it in. Now that may come in a variety of ways, but it will come in. Amen? So we need to, what do we need to do? We've been delivered from the power, the authority of one who has the right and power to give commands. We've been delivered from his commands and his darkness. We're not subject to him anymore. And so we can, in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name or demand anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified. So we have the right in the name of Jesus to claim the money that we need. Start and begin to do what? Exercise your faith. Begin to claim a certain amount of money that you need. You know, you may say, well, I'm living comfortably. Sometimes that's the problem, that we're living comfortably, all of our needs are met, and we're not doing what? Exercising our faith. How many would like to, you know, I say it this way, after these young kids impacted me, how many would be like to be in a position to just buy another house and just donate it to them, say, here, go ahead and not even think about it? Well, here's the thing. We all get excited about that, but then the question becomes, what are we doing? See, these are the objectives. You know, it's like people that do sports. I played sports for a while. I had to train. You know, when I did track and all of those kind of things, we had to run cross country. Oh God, I couldn't stand cross country, but that was the drill. You had to run cross country to get in shape, and then run sprints and do all these other things. Well, everybody wants to be an Olympic athlete, but everybody doesn't want to subject themselves to the training and the discipline. And so we all want to have excess where we can do some things, but sometimes we need to do those things that will get us there. And we need to start where we're at, because you don't just start and go from here to Olympian athlete. So we have to start $5 faith, $10 faith, $20 faith, but keep doing it and get yourself to the position where you can be used more of God and for him. Amen? Because God right now, I believe, is looking for those who will use their faith in a greater measure, in a greater way. I personally believe that if we continue to keep exercising our faith, we can do an exercise where we can start calling in $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, and it'll be easy. But it won't be easy if you don't start down here at $50. It'll be too big. It'll just be your faith won't work. It won't operate there. You'll get discouraged and just give up, you see. Let's look at one last scripture, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And look at verse 9. I know we were the other scriptures in 7 and 8, but look at verse 9. It says, "And let us not be weary in what? Well-doing. For we what? For in due season we shall reap if we do what? Faint not." I like somebody, there's so many great translations, various translations that read differently. The New Living says, "So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time." So don't get discouraged in exercising your faith. Keep doing good. Keep working the word, and you will reap if you faint not. See, that's why I appreciated about Eddie James. He didn't just reach this place of having 9 homes and now getting a hotel that'll house 800. He used his home. And he started with one person, and they started showing up at his house, and he started putting bunk beds in all the rooms and ran out of room. I'm not asking anybody here to do that. If God places that in your heart or you do that and you're called to do that, then you do that. But he started with what he had. And that's what we have to do. We have to start with the faith that we have at the level that we have and exercise it. And when we get that extra, sow it, plant it, and then begin to call in more where that came from. Amen? Praise God. Getting anything? You know how this is. You can't talk about going to the gym. You got to go to the gym. If you're gonna benefit, you can't talk about going to the gym. You got to do it. You can't talk about calling money in. You've got to do it. You can't just say it'd be great to lose weight. Yeah, you got to do something. You've got to make some adjustments. You either got to watch your diet, you've got to exercise. It's the same thing with your finances. You've got to manage it properly. You've got to budget properly. But you've also, at the same time, that's a natural thing, but on the spiritual side, we've been given authority in the name of Jesus. We're not limited to what we have or limited to our age, limited to our situation. We are an unlimited, overcoming army, the body of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Set your visions and your sight high. Amen.